Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Janine Sanchez Harms. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Janine Sanchez Harms was born on June 10, 1959, in Los Gatos, California. She was raised in nearby Campbell by her parents Jess and Georgette. Janine had two older brothers, Craig and Wayne. After graduating from high school, Janine attended San Jose State University. She earned a bachelor's degree in liberal arts. Not long after graduating, she found work as a purchasing manager at the Omdal Corporation in Sunnyvale. This is an information technology company specializing in IBM mainframe-compatible computers. Janine became romantically involved with a man named Randy. They married sometime around 1995 and eventually moved into a house in the resort town of Discovery Bay, California. As it turns out, the only discovery they made was how they were not compatible. The couple separated in 2000, and divorce proceedings were initiated. Janine moved in with her parents, then lived with her best friend for over a year. In April 2001, she rented a unit in a duplex at 16770 Churco Drive in Los Gatos for $900 a month. The duplex was owned by one of her friends. Once again single, Janine was eager to find romance. She dated frequently, often meeting men in bars. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Monday, July 30, 2001, Janine Sanchez Harms was reported missing after she failed to show up for work. Her friends tried to reach her on her cell phone, but it had been deactivated. This was extremely out of the ordinary. Here's what the police found during the course of their investigation. Janine's black 2000 Ford Mustang was parked outside her duplex. Inside her home, there was no sign of a struggle. However, a few items were missing, including her cell phone, her purse, and the keys to her Mustang. A slip cover and two cushions were missing from her couch in the living room. In front of the couch, Janine had a red and blue Persian-style area rug, which was also missing. Janine's home seemed unusually clean. The police could not find any fingerprints. They could not even find Janine's fingerprints. The police learned that on Friday, July 27, 2001, Janine met friends at a restaurant in the Prune Yard Shopping Center in Campbell, California. Janine told her friends that she had a date with a man at 7 p.m. His name was William Alex Wilson. He went by his middle name, Alex. He owned Wilson's Jewel Bakery in Santa Clara. In the mid-1960s, his father had been the mayor of that city. Janine was not excited about her upcoming date with Alex. They had met a few weeks earlier in a bar when Alex grabbed one of Janine's business cards as she was trying to hand it to someone else. Janine told her friends that since then, Alex called her repeatedly. She scheduled a date with him, but then stood him up. Feeling guilty, Janine told him that she missed due to a family emergency and scheduled another date. She found Alex to be obnoxious, said his whole personality really turned her off, and did not want to be alone with him. Her plan was to meet with him briefly and then reject him once and for all. Janine didn't think this would take too long. She made her way to a bar called the Rock Bottom Brewery in the same shopping center and waited for Alex to arrive. The police spoke to Alex. He told them that he was a half hour late for his date with Janine. When he arrived, he noticed that she was with a group of people that included a short, balding man. He did not know who this man was. Alex, Janine, and the short man went to another bar before returning to the Rock Bottom Brewery at about 10 p.m. At this point, Janine invited both men to her home. Alex said that he declined the offer, but the short man accepted it. The police found a fingerprint on Janine's Mustang, which matched an architect named Maurice Xavier Nasma. His fingerprint was in the system because he had once been arrested for DUI. They spoke to Maurice. He admitted to being the short, balding man described by Alex. Here is the story that Maurice supplied to the police. After Janine invited him and Alex to join her at her home, Maurice followed Janine in his Jeep Grand Cherokee SUV. He thought Alex was coming as well, but Alex never showed up. Maurice and Janine stopped at a convenience store called Jiffy Market and purchased a six-pack of Heineken beer. The store was just 750 feet away from Janine's home. After arriving at her home, they each consumed one bottle of beer and smoked marijuana. Janine played her guitar, and they watched music videos. Maurice left the residence sometime between 12:30 a.m. and 1 a.m., now on Saturday, July 28, 2001. At this time, Janine was half asleep on her couch in the living room. As Maurice walked to his vehicle, he saw another man walking up to the residence. He did not identify this man. However, arguably, he was trying to make it sound as if the man could have been Alex. Janine's neighbor reported hearing a loud percussive sound in the area of Janine's duplex at around midnight. This was at a time when Maurice said he was in her residence. The neighbor then saw a man drive away from the duplex. The man was about 40 years old. He had a mustache and was balding. This description sounded a lot like Maurice. The police believed that Maurice murdered Janine and disposed of her body in the Persian-style area rug, but they did not have enough evidence to make an arrest. In July 2003, 2 years later, the police released an image of the missing area rug, hoping that a member of the public would recognize it and come forward. As it turns out, that's exactly what happened. A woman contacted the police and said that in July or August 2001, she and her daughter found a red and blue rug behind a shopping center at Lee and Hillsdale Avenues. This was just 0.6 miles from where Maurice lived at the time. The police collected the rug as evidence. They came to the conclusion that it was Janine's rug because it had small burns on the tassels, just like hers did. During the original investigation, investigators had collected 27 fibers from the back of Maurice's Jeep Grand Cherokee. Test results showed that 13 of those fibers matched the Persian-style rug, and 14 of the fibers matched a latch hook rug Janine had been working on. On December 16, 2004, 3.5 years after Janine Sanchez Harms disappeared, Maurice Nasma was arrested and charged with murder. As Maurice was sitting in jail, the state ran into some problems with the investigation. A technician who analyzed the fibers had failed proficiency tests in fiber analysis. This meant the state needed to send the fibers out to another laboratory to be tested again. They were not ready to take this case to trial. On June 28, 2007, a judge dismissed the case against Maurice because his right to a speedy trial had been violated. The state had the right to refile the murder charge later, which they planned to do, pending the results of the fiber analysis. Maurice may have been concerned about returning to jail, but there was no need to worry, because that would never happen. On January 15, 2011, at 9:20 p.m., Janine's 52-year-old brother, Wayne Sanchez, spotted 46-year-old Maurice Nasma at the Red Robin restaurant in the El Paso de Saratoga Shopping Center in West San Jose. This was just a few blocks from where Wayne lived with his parents. He confronted Maurice and accused him of killing his sister 9.5 years earlier. Wayne left the restaurant, went home, retrieved a firearm, and then returned to the shopping center. By this time, Maurice had walked to Pete's Coffee and Tea Shop just 500 feet away from the Red Robin restaurant. Wayne entered the shop and confronted Maurice again. He produced a firearm and advised Maurice's date to move out of the way. This is reminiscent of what the gunfighter William Money told the bar patron standing next to Little Bill in the final scene of the 1992 movie Unforgiven. He said, "You boys better move out of the way." Wayne Sanchez was having a Clint Eastwood moment. At this point, Wayne shot Maurice one time, killing him. Wayne ran into the parking lot where he turned his weapon on himself with a fatal outcome. 7 months later, in August 2011, the results of the fiber analysis finally became available. Prosecutors claimed the fibers matched, just like the original technician indicated. Maurice must have killed Janine. The authorities consider this case to be closed. Now moving to my analysis. Not everybody is satisfied that Maurice Nasma killed Janine Sanchez Harms. His attorney argued that an innocent man had been gunned down for no reason. The state, of course, disagreed, arguing that there was no innocent excuse for the rug fibers being in Maurice's vehicle. This brings me to the question, was Maurice guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence, both for and against the idea that he was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Maurice admitted to being in Janine's residence until sometime between 12:30 a.m. and 1 a.m. Janine's neighbor heard a percussive sound at around midnight, so Maurice was there when this sound occurred. An obvious defense tactic would be to imply that Alex must have committed the murder. After all, he was also invited to Janine's residence. The problem is, Maurice admitted that Alex was not there. Maurice was alone with Janine. He mentioned seeing a man walking toward the residence as he was leaving, implying that this man could have been Alex. But why would Alex show up 2 or 3 hours late? When Maurice left Janine's residence, he took all 6 of the beer bottles with him, including the 2 empty bottles. Some of the statements that Maurice made about his night with Janine seem implausible. For example, he said that Janine played the guitar that night. However, her fingerprints were not found on the guitar. He claimed that they drank beer, but Janine's friends said she never drank beer. And Maurice said that Janine was falling asleep on her couch as he was leaving. Janine never slept on her couch. Furthermore, why would she start to go to sleep when there was a strange man still in her home? Now moving to the exculpatory factors. It's possible that Maurice had nothing to do with the murder. Perhaps the other man who Janine invited, Alex, was somehow involved. The police found evidence that did not look too good for Alex. For example, a police dog alerted to the Mercedes that Alex was driving that night. In the trunk of this vehicle, there was a shovel and a map to family property on Mount Hamilton. When the police interviewed Alex, he indicated that he was annoyed with Janine because she was supposed to be on a date with him. Instead, she spent her time with Maurice. Alex mentioned several times that Janine was a psycho blank. The blank rhymes with the word pitch. Janine dated a lot of men. Maybe a man other than Maurice or Alex paid a visit that night and became homicidal. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Maurice was guilty of murder? I believe he is guilty in reality, but I would need to see the details about the fiber analysis to determine if he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Fiber analysis has been plagued with credibility problems for many years. If the fibers in Maurice's vehicle did actually come from Janine's 2 rugs, then I would say he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Without reliable fiber evidence, however, Alex remains a viable potential suspect. For that matter, the possibility remains that some entirely different individual could have been the killer. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Janine had embarked on a new and exciting romantic journey. She was actively looking for a lover. Unfortunately, on occasion, Janine took unnecessary risks to accomplish this goal. She probably believed that both Alex and Maurice would accept her invitation to her residence, but when Alex declined, Janine ended up alone with an unfamiliar and dangerous individual. Maurice probably made some type of romantic advance, which Janine rejected. One of Janine's friends indicated that Janine was attracted to stereotypically masculine men who were tall and had blonde hair. There was no way Janine was going to be interested in Maurice. He became angry and killed her either by strangulation or suffocation. He rolled her up in a rug and disposed of her body in a remote area. Maurice never thought about the rug being used as evidence against him. He was more concerned about the body. He disposed of the rug not far from his residence, probably thinking no one would even give a rug next to a dumpster a second look. Amazingly, a mother and her daughter retrieved the rug, and the mother saw the image of it the police released to the media 2 years later. Maurice never saw that coming. He vastly underestimated the value people place on Persian-style rugs. An unexpected delay in the investigation granted Maurice's freedom, but he would only have 3.5 years of enjoyment. In January 2011, Wayne Sanchez just happened to encounter Maurice in public. Wayne was not planning on killing him that day. This was just a chance encounter. Wayne was impulsive, antagonistic, unemployed, and lived with his parents. He was described as a little bit on the hard side. Having made a substantial number of mistakes in his life, maybe he thought that killing Maurice would make everything right. There is no way to know exactly what Wayne was thinking when he killed an unarmed man, but his justification for the murder was almost certainly revenge. Maybe he imagined himself responding to criticism by saying something like, well, he should have armed himself if he's going to decorate his saloon with my friend. Those are my thoughts in the case of Janine Sanchez Harms. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.